God is good all the time. Yes. Wow. She takes after her pawpaw. I heard him sing. It ain't him either. Amen. Amen. Yes. I was out singing one day, practicing, and DC's mama said, "Can you please go outside and do that?" And I said, "Don't you enjoy my singing?" She says, "Yeah, I do, but I want the neighbors to know I ain't beating you." Get your Bible out to Ezekiel 22. This is kind of, I never really expected all this to be this way. When I first started on this, it actually was going to be just one story about Nehemiah. I had no idea that it was going to just keep on going and going and going. So this is the last one. And this is not just about Nehemiah, but it's about a lot of other people also. But I want you to understand that God's trying to call us something to something big. This, what you see right now, is a Genesis going on. It's not only a Genesis going on. What you see is we're pumping the pump. I really believe next year this time we're going to have places for people to sit. I really believe that. We've just got to stay with it, prime the pump, and watch what God will do. Amen? Somebody say amen. Don't leave me hanging. Amen. God is awesome all the time. Yes. Get your Bible out. Turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. Stand for the reading of the word. Ezekiel chapter 22. God is so awesome. Wasn't that just an awesome? The praise team was awesome. Sierra Cump and singing was awesome. God has just got an awesome group of people here. Hid in the little town of Edward, which I believe is not going to be hid very long because God's doing something special. Amen. All of us have got something to do, and this is going to be part of it. This last couple of weeks of building the wall has got something to do with it, and today this has got something to do with it. Amen. So get your Bible out and turn to Ezekiel 22. Got your Bible? Say amen. You don't say, "Oh, me." Oh, wow, that's cool. See, either everybody's got their Bible or you didn't want to say you didn't. Amen. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me in the land." You got to listen to all these words carefully. I'm going to read that again, and then we're going to go over these words very carefully. "And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none." Wow. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're all abiding, Lord, that you have all strength. I thank you, God, that we don't have to work on our own, God, but we've got you with us, Lord. I thank you, God, that we know, Lord, that you're here, that something mighty is happening amongst us. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, Lord, be willing to hear it, Lord, not only with our ears, but be willing to hear it with our heart, and to know that not only let it be heard if with our heart, but then it should move to our hands and our feet, Lord, and to our mouth, that we can go out and bring the world in. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, look at somebody and give them a high five, low five, no five, some five. Yes. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. You know, I heard this lady talking about she was trying to control her dry hair, so she treated her scalp with olive oil before washing it. Worried that the oil might leave an odor, she washed her hair several times that night before she went to bed. She went over to her husband and said, "Do I smell like olive oil?" He said, "No," sniffing on her, and said, "Do I smell like Popeye?" Y'all get it in a minute. Amen. Olive oil, Popeye. Okay. Doot, doot. God is awesome. We're going to talk today about standing in the gap. Now, you people don't really realize, as a child of God, the power that is behind you, the power that is within you, and the power that goes before you. You know, I told somebody just the other day, I said, and I think I told you about this last week too, I came across a couple of guys working. I was getting something for the computer, and there was a guy working at a computer shop, and I saw him, and I was just taken back by this young man. And as I was taken back by this young man, I told him, I said, you, my brother, are an awesome leader. He said, excuse me? I said, you're an awesome leader. I said, I'm going to step out a little further. You're an awesome man of God. And he started smiling. And he said, how'd you know I was a man of God? And I told him, I said, it's all over you. I said, the anointing is on you. Matter of fact, it's not only just on you, it is propelling you. And as you walk, it's going before you. And the man said, wow. And he said, can you talk to me for a minute? I said, well, I said to tell you, you need to stay on the wall. Stand tall and stay on the wall. And when I told him that, he opened up his notebook and he said, this is just what I just wrote a few minutes ago before you came in here. And he said, Nehemiah, stand on the wall. I said, well, God's telling you something, brother. He said, but how can you tell that I was a man of God? I said, because, look, when you take a big fish in the water, when you're going after bass or you're going after fish, not only do they leave a wake behind them, they also propel in front of them. You see it propelling. And when the anointing is upon you, not only do people see it when you talk, but they feel it when you come into the room, because the anointing announces God's presence, not yours. It announces God's presence. The Holy Spirit says, I'm not going to talk about me, I'm going to talk about Him. And so when you come into the room, why do people look at you funny sometimes or stop talking the way they're talking or they change the way they act? It's because the anointing upon you, listen carefully, the anointing upon you announces the God of heaven. And when it announces the God of heaven, that's why Satan wants to stop the anointing on you. Because without the anointing, people just see me. But with the anointing, people don't see me, they see God. People don't just see you, they see God. They hear God speaking in their spirit. Amen? And so now, with that in mind, I want you to remember something. God has called all of us to stand in the gap. He's called all of us to step forward, let His anointing shine upon us to the point where people are no longer seeing us, but they're seeing God. Amen? Now, here it is. I read it again, another version. I look for someone among you who could build walls and stand in front of me. God. You see, God's looking. God's watching. God's watching you on your work. God's watching you at home. God's watching us right now. God watches you as you ride down the road. Amen. So now say, God, I hope you're not watching because I'm getting crazy on this road. Look the other way, Lord. Of course, He's still watching. Amen. To defend the land and keep it from being destroyed. So now, here's the problem in this society. The problem is, watch this carefully. See that? You know, how many's ever walked on a pier that had a couple of boards out? How many walked across the pier didn't realize it was out until it fell from under your feet? How many's ever walked across the bridge and something like that happened? Amen? It's a bad feeling, isn't it? But you know, that's the problem in this land right now. Here's God. He's trying to reach out to us, but we are so busy taking God out of the equation that there's a gap. When they took Him out of school, they started building a gap. When they took prayer out of school, they started building a gap. When they took the Bible out of school, they started building a gap. Then when they started saying you can't even put up manger scenes because it may offend somebody, they started building a wider gap. The more they take God out of society, the wider the gap gets. And right now, the gap is so strong, people can't run and jump and get on the other side. They need somebody, us, somebody to say, but He's talking to me. Somebody who's going to, watch this. See, here's this gap. And He needs somebody that's going to be stand up for our nation, stand up for our schools, our families, our home, and stand in the gap, because there's such a separation between God and His people. People keep talking about, well, separation of church and state, separation of church and state. The forefathers, yes, but the forefathers said, yeah, the separation of church and state. It's mentioned in that way, but He never says separation of God and state. Never. We are to allow God in all of our decisions. The forefathers, they took all of this out of the history books. They don't even teach a lot of this stuff anymore because they don't want you to know the early forefathers were strong in God and strong in what He stood for and said, we cannot build this nation without God's help. Amen? And so that's why there's a gap in this land. I mean, there is a gap. I remember D.C. was in kindergarten. And they allowed a high school boy to ride on his bus one day. DC come up to me after school, after kindergarten, and said, Daddy, what's this white stuff that you put up your nose? And I said, DC, how do you know about this white stuff that you put up your nose? You're just in kindergarten. And DC said, one of the guys on the bus had some in his hand and told me I could try. I said, he'll not be on there tomorrow. I drove right to school the next day, got up on the bus, and then I started walking on the bus. I had him in my eyeballs. I was getting to take that man out, that boy out. And the principal come up and grabbed me and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm climbing on this bus. He said, no, you won't, Mr. Lincoln. I said, yes, I am. I've got to evangelize. He said, you're climbing this bus, I'm going to have you arrested. I said, he was a good friend of mine, too. I said, well, I'm going to tell you what, if you don't do something, somebody can get arrested. And he said, what's going on? I told him. So this is back before they had the different separation in buses like they do now. And so all this guy got was 3 days suspended off the bus. That's it. But I told him, if you ever got around my son again, I was going to do some suspending, and he wouldn't have to worry about getting back on that bus. I'm a preacher, but I'm a man, and I'm a father, too. But see, there's a gap. You didn't just have to worry about that stuff. When I was coming up, I got to admit, I was rambunctious, and I got to admit, I stayed in trouble. I went to the principal's office all the time. My teacher set my desk right beside hers. I was always within arm's reach of my teacher. But you know what it was? It was shooting spitballs and bubble gum and pulling hair and stuff like that. It was never with cocaine and all these rape that's going on in the school. The problem is there's a gap. There is a, and we have the answer. We are the gap standers. Did you know that? So here's what God's doing. I'm going to tell you what God's doing this morning. I can promise you, I can't say I know everything God's doing this morning, but God's doing a whole lot of stuff this morning. But I can tell you one thing He's doing right now in this church and all over the churches in this nation. And this is one thing that He's doing this morning. I know. And that is, God is in pursuit looking for a man or woman. He's looking for somebody that'll stand in the gap. Not a committee, not a neighbor, not somebody else, not for a better time. God is calling us now to stand in the gap. If we refuse to stand in the gap, it's going to keep getting farther and farther and farther apart. We have to stand up and quit saying, well, I don't feel like it. I know what it is. I did it last time. Blah, 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 blah. God needs some men and some women that will say, I will stand in the gap. God, if it costs me, I will stand in the gap. The gap has to close. Not keep getting further apart. It has to close. And the answer is not in Congress. It's not in the Senate. The answer's in the pews right now. We are the answer. Amen. So look. He said, a man or woman, here's the word in the Hebrew, a steward. Steward is somebody that takes somebody else's stuff and works with it. We're taking God's anointing and God's power and work with a champion. A champion is somebody that stands in the gap. We'll talk about that in a minute. Somebody that fights for the whole nation. A footman. A mighty man, a mighty woman. So watch. The Bible is full of gap standers. You know what a gap stander is? They're difference makers. Nehemiah, we've been talking about Nehemiah for 2 weeks. Nehemiah, he was a gap stander. He stood on the wall, and he brought the wall together. You see, God did it in record time because He said, I'm willing. Stand on the wall and make the difference. David, oh wow, there was a gap. Israel, the Philistines, and the gap was being filled by Goliath. And nobody would step up to Goliath because Goliath was so big. Everybody, you've heard it before. Everybody thought he was so big they couldn't fight him. And David said, he's so big I can't miss him. So David stood in the gap, a little bitty fellow, 17 years old, stands in the gap when seasoned warriors wouldn't even stand. Remember, God's not worried about your ability. God is worried about your availability. God, am I available for you to use me? Here's the common factors of a gap stander, okay? Here it is. I want you to watch this now. Every last one of us, part of it's happening right now. You don't even realize it. Listen. Number one, they're called of God. God's calling every last one of us right now to be a gap stander. Every last one of us, no matter our age, no matter if we're male or female, God is calling us to be gap standers. Amen? He called Nehemiah. He called David. David thought he was going to go feed his brother. That's what he thought. I'm just going to go feed my brothers. And when he gets there, he hears this Goliath. And been there for 40 days and 40 nights. And been twice a day coming out and telling somebody, just send me a man. One, we will fight. And whoever wins, the others will serve the other. Of course, that was a lie. Because after David took down Goliath, they didn't serve Israel. So watch. They're selfish. You see, a gap stander is never about them. Ever. You know, it's so easy for us to get caught up in my form no more. It's so easy to get caught up in myself. But you know, it's not about us. It's not about me. It's about those out there that need God and need somebody to stand in the gap. So it's never about them. They're selfless. And it's about service. It's all about helping others. Here was Nehemiah in the lap of luxury, had satin sheets, had the best wine, the best food, the best steak, everything, anything he wanted, he had. And he said, why should I have all this when my people, my walls being torn down, and they can't get it back up? See, remember, God's calling us today, number one, to be a gap stander. And remember, it's not about us. It's never been about us. It's about Jesus. Number two, it's about helping others, service. Man, when I see somebody serving, man, it just tears me up. I love to see somebody that'll serve. That's why I like Emmaus so good, because Emmaus is all about service. Now watch this. It says, salt for a man, from among men. That's God's choice. You see, God's going to call you to go to areas that I could never go into. I can't go in your family. I can't go to your work. There's certain things I cannot go to. There's certain things that you can't go to, but I can, and vice versa. So God is calling us. He said, a salt for a man among them. Somebody that is able to relate. Somebody that is close to their heart. You know, it's one thing if I see a kid. I hear there's a kid out there, and he's out there playing in the road. It's another thing if I actually see the kid. It's even a bigger thing if it's my kid. Close to my heart. So it's important that we understand that God is picking us. You know, wherever you're living, you may be the only God that your neighbor sees. You got to understand that. God has got you in a strategic position. Maybe it's your coworkers. It's somebody that they may never go to church, but they can relate because you can relate to them. Now, there's God's choice, but it's God's representative. So I want you to stand in that gap before me. We're not standing alone. We never have to stand alone. I remember D.C. one time. D.C.'s first. We were taking the youngins, all the young people, and we were letting them do devotions on Wednesday night. And D.C. said, Dad, I'll go first. I said, all right. And so D.C. said, D.C. went and put a suit on. He had a suit on for his devotion. He comes up. He's a little bitty fella. Well, he's never been a little bitty, but he's a little bitty compared to what he is now. He's a great bitty now. He was a little. Matter of fact, y'all need to know this. His shoe size equaled his age until he was 16. 1, 2, 3. We even had a place in Williamson. Daniel could get any shoe he wanted. He had like 20 choices. DC had a 15 and a 16. The man said, I got him in. Come pick one. Whichever one fits. Remember that, DC? Whichever one fits, that's the one you get. Amen. DC come up to do his devotion. And as he got ready to go up, I saw him starting to tremble. DC came over to me and said, Daddy, He said, I know I'm supposed to be doing this devotion. I said, but I got to tell you something, man. I'm really, really nervous. He said, not only am I nervous, I'm really kind of scared. I said, I'll tell you what, son. I'll stand. What if I stand up behind you? He said, that'll be good. DC was talking about David and Goliath. So DC stands up. I remember it. He's talking about David and Goliath. He gets up. And as he starts to talking, I'm standing behind him. And he's kind of going, and he turns around and sees him. So he kind of goes. And as he starts going, he starts to stumble a little bit. As he starts to stumble, I take my hand. And I just touch him on his back. And when I touched him, he picked right on up. And he did his stuff. And as I was sitting there, and I come up behind him, and I put my hand on his back, and I even put my hand on his shoulder, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, I do that for you every Sunday. Y'all can do that now. Woo! There you go. You see, we don't have to stand in the gap by ourselves. We've got God. God is calling us, and if God calls you to do this, He's going to take care of you. I've heard people all the time, you know, say, I don't know where that came from, but man, that was awesome. Or I've been hearing somebody else go, where'd that come from? I don't know. I know it came from God. We're God's representative before Him. And then, not only that, but it's a burden for the land, our world, our country, our homes, our schools, our neighborhood, our employment. It's supposed to be a burden on us. And when we feel the burden, we are to take care of it. You ever seen somebody that was just totally, they tried to tell you, I mean, all they ever talk about is a certain thing all the time. And it might be a problem. And all they do is talk about it. But they never really work on it. But they keep talking about it. You know what's going on? God's giving them a burden, but they're not releasing it. If what bothers you, if something that's bothering you in God's kingdom, that you're supposed to be fixing, helping somebody, helping a family, whatever it is, and you keep feeling it, but you don't release it, the problem is you're just keep filling up with that burden, and it's actually going to make you spiritually explode inside. But if you will go ahead and start doing it, what it is God is calling you to make a difference in that area. So God places a burden on us. Now, I'm almost through. Didn't say through. Almost. Amen. All right. So here's God's path. He says, stand in the gap. That word gap means a breach, a broken wall. How many in here would like to think, you know, we went to Charlotte yesterday to see Bethany, and we come back. We didn't get back to like 12 o'clock last night, but we stopped at a place, and there was a lady that had about five dogs, and she had a pen. Great old big pen. And those dogs were all jumping all around, and they were having a good time. And another dog came up. And when another dog came up, they all ran over to that side of the fence. The dog came over here, they ran over here. And you know what? Everything was fine. The man said, that's fine. She can't get in. They can't get out. What about if that fence had a big old hole in it? Wow. That'd have been a problem. But that's our problem today. Look around us. The wall, like Nehemiah, it's got big old holes in it. I like what Nehemiah did. He took the men and he put them in front of their own homes to build the wall. Because if they had it in front of their own home, then they would have an investment and they would work harder. Whatever I do right now, this music, whatever we do, whatever we do with communion, whatever we're doing, it's all about seeing the whole. The gaps. We got to fill them. And God wants to use us. Amen? So there's a gap. There's a breach. There's a broken wall. There's a gap between God and man. And we are called to do the filling. We're the only ones that can do the filling. You know, there's holes in the faith. I see, you know, there's so much junk being thrown out there that people can't even get wrapped their mind around what the real truth is in the Word because they hear so much junk all the time. There's walls broken down in our families. Families aren't even communicating at times. I've had people come in my office and I find out they haven't talked. They have not talked for months and trying to fix it. You can't fix it if you don't talk. There's a hole. Or even just found in the land, the hole, the gap. There is a gap. God's path, stand in the gap. I like what that word said there, stand. That word stand means you have been appointed to raise up. You have been appointed to rise up. Every one of us in here, we have been appointed to rise up. And not only to rise up, that word means to stand, but it also means and remain firm. You know, if you're going to be a gap stander, you need to get in that gap and just stand. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, having done all to stand, you've done everything God commands you to do and it's still coming at you, stand. Wow. That's powerful. After you've done everything within your power and the enemy's still coming, stand. So look, it is time to get beyond ourselves. Y'all don't shout this down there. It's time to get beyond ourselves. Come on, somebody, say something. And it's time to get into the fight. And not just get into the fight, stay in the fight. You see, the enemy is trying so hard to distract us. Distract us everywhere we turn, there's a distraction. You know, it seems like when I start working on messages or working on my schoolwork or start working with somebody, it seems like that's when the phone starts ringing. That's when people start coming over. That's when things start happening. That's when somebody says, man, you got to hear this. Or, man, you got to come take care of this. Distraction after distraction. So God's path is stand in the gap. Not only is it is God's power within us to make up the hedge. That word hedge means to repair the breach, to close it off, to build the wall back. Now again, Nehemiah, I like what Nehemiah did. He had a sword in one hand because of attack. They were always threatening attack. And up until this point, whenever they threatened attack, people quit building. So here's what Nehemiah said, okay, put a trowel in one hand so you can keep on putting that wall up and put a sword in the other. And it says, don't only come down off the wall to wash your clothes. Get up here, wash it. I mean, get up here. Keep spreading the mortar, and at the same time, keep the sword. So when the enemy sees you, he knows, I'm ready to work, I'm ready to fight. Don't matter. Enemy, when you come at me, here's what you're going to see, enemy. When you see me, you're going to see a trowel in one hand. I'm ready to build a wall. I'm ready to stand in the gap. And if you want to fight Satan, there's a sword in this hand. Matter of fact, we've got both all in one. It's an all-in-one kit. It's the trial, and it's the sword. Praise God. When you take this right here with you, you are unstoppable. Amen? So now, Nehemiah, he took the trial and the sword. Now David, of course, they were the Philistines on one side, the Israelites on the other, and he took something crazy. He went down there with a sling and a stone. Wow. But he used what he knew worked. And he did it. Too many of us are trying to use what everybody else thinks works. Let's use what we know works in our own life and make up that hedge. And the greatest of all, the greatest gap stander was Jesus. The cross made up the hedge. It bridged the gap. See, think about this now. When Jesus died, he was suspended between heaven and earth. When he said, it is finished. First he said, when he always saying is that he said. When he said, it is finished. The levy was paid. Sin was paid for. He reached it with one hand, suspended above the earth. He reached it with one hand to grab God. And he reached down with the other hand and grabbed man. Wow. He bridged the gap. Man, the gap that he bridged. It was awesome. And now, we are to do the same thing. So watch. So here, we talk about God's power. Make up the hedge. And his purpose, that it should not destroy you. That word destroy means to decay, to ruin, to corrupt, to destroy, lose, perish, spill. You know, that doesn't necessarily mean it's going to happen all at one time. Think about it. Decay. Does decay happen overnight? Does ruin happen overnight? Does corruption happen overnight? Look at our nation. Slowly and surely. You want to see somebody, they're always talking about somebody's rights, 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 rights. They're so busy trying to give everybody their rights. Guess whose rights they're taking away? The Christian. And we're doing just like the Jews at the Holocaust. We're just sitting there and climbing on into the gas chamber. Instead of rising up, we're just going to sit. God's calling us to stand up in the gap. I know this might be a little rough this morning, but it is Labor Day. Amen? It's time to do some labor. Get busy for God. Yeah, I like this. See, deliverance doesn't come from an army. According to this, deliverance comes from a man. Or a woman. Two people, I was riding down the road. Of course, you get really close to God when your wife's driving and you're going down 85 and she thinks that's the speed limit, not the spike. She's just keeping up with the traffic. Amen. You get really close to God, you can pray really hard during that time. But as I was riding down the road, I began to think about two people that stood in the gap that actually saved God's people. The first one was Noah. Noah built an ark. Amen? Daniel told me he went to that new ark they've got out in Kent, Kentucky. They got a life-size ark. And Daniel went to the Creation Museum and went to the life-size ark. He didn't send me a picture of the ark, but he sent me some pictures back. And he just talked about how awesome it was and how big it was. Wow. This man, Noah, saved him, his wife, his sons, and their wives. He built an ark. And God saved him from the wrath that came. Then Moses built an ark. Noah got in the ark before the destruction. Moses carried the ark before him and brought it. In the ark was manna, the rod that budded, and the commandments, representing God's presence, God's power, God's provision. And it went before them in the battle, and every time it went before them in the battle, then it caused them to be triumphant over their enemies. But again, here's two gap standards. Noah stood in the gap and saved a family from a total annihilation on the earth. Moses was faithful, stood in the gap, and saved God's people that were in slavery. So now, get ready. I told you to get ready to close. I mean, I looked for someone to stand up for me against all this. To repair the defenses of the city. To stand for me. And stand in the gap to protect this land so I wouldn't have to destroy it. And I couldn't find anyone. Not one. Too much going on. There's too much happening. It's happening so fast, man. Never would I have imagined when I listen to the political conventions and what they're saying. I can't even imagine what I'm hearing. When I listen to the candidates, and both of them act like a bunch of youngins, and I'm listening to what they're saying, it just drives me crazy. You know, I was riding down the road. And as I was riding down the road the other day and had Garmin, I call her Garmin, it's actually the GPS. As I ran down the road and riding to Charlotte, and then we would take a little detour, and you could take a little detour, it would take you wherever you're trying to find a Starbucks. You got to have a Starbucks where you're going to Greensboro, you got me to Charlotte. You can put in Starbucks, it'll tell you the nearest one, and then it'll start talking to you and say, Starbucks, 2 miles ahead on the right. I looked over at Linda and I said, you know, this is amazing. I remember when I used to have to look up MapQuest and get these instructions and ride down the road and keep looking back and forth and have to turn around two or three times trying to figure it out. Then I remember my father-in-law was a truck driver. I'd have to talk to him and he'd tell me how to get there. But still, it was so hard. And now I can ride down the road and if I'm not paying attention, he goes, turn right. On Highway 55. in 3 miles. Then it's just to remind you, it says turn right in a half a mile. Then if you miss it again, it says recalculating. I had her so mad at me yesterday that she didn't even talk to me for 20 miles. She finally did talk to me. I said, where are we going, Garmin? And she went, and I asked Linda, I said, can you imagine when I was a little boy if I'd seen all this stuff? It just blows me away. And I can't even imagine my granddaddy or his daddy seeing all the stuff we got going on. You know, the inventions that have been made in the last 100 years. But at the same time, man's decay is happening faster than man's technology. God is searching. Y'all guys, come on up here. God is searching. I know this might not be the best Labor Day message, but you know what? It's labor. All we got to do is labor. We got to get ready for God. We got to get ready. Get ready. We can put a free fishing sign up there, but they're not coming in. We got to go get them. We got to go get them and bring them in. I've never been fishing and held up a free worm sign and seen a fish jump in the boat. I had to get the pole, throw it in, and I had to work, get the bait, bring them in. That's what we're trying to do now, is get some bait, bring them in. We got to get busy about our Father's business. God is searching for somebody to stay in the gap. And I would hate to think that God looked down at my house and said, I searched for somebody to stand up and make and stand in the gap and make up the hedge and look at David Linton's house and said, I found me. Or I'd hate for him to say, I'm down there looking in Edward at every Christian church for some folks to stand in the gap. And I found none. I'd hate to think that. Or look on your job, and he says, I was looking at that job, and I was looking for somebody to stand in the gap, and I found none. No, no, no. God, let me stand. Let me stand in the gap. Everybody stand. God is searching. I've told you this during this whole series, but if we'd have stood in the gap like we should across the whole nation, we would have had a whole different presidential race going on this time. If we'd have stood in the gap, they wouldn't have had to replace police once they took prayer out of school. Police are now walking the halls instead of prayer. God, help us. Help us. Help us be ready to stand again. When every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here this morning, the very first part of standing in the gap, if you're going to stand before God and stand in the gap, every head bowed, every eye closed, is you got to be part of the family. You got to be part of what's going on. If you're here this morning while nobody's looking around, every eye's closed, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm not going to embarrass you. But can you just slip up that hand quickly and say, pray for me. I don't know Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're not sure where you stand with God, you're not sure. You want to stand in the gap, but you're afraid because you're saying, I don't even know where I stand with God. How can I stand in the gap? I don't know where I stand with Him. Today, you can know, with no heads, every head down, every eye closed, if I'm talking to you. You want to stand in the gap, but you don't know where you stand with God. Would you just put that hand up and say, pray for me. I don't know where I stand. Maybe you're here this morning, and I pray that God has pricked your heart. With every head bowed, every eye closed, because we're not going to embarrass anybody. If you would say, you know what? I don't want God to come down to my house, my work, and say, I sought for someone to stand in the gap and I found none. So I want to be that gap stander in my family, in my home, on my job, in my church, in the community. With every head bowed, every eye closed, would you put that hand up and say, I want to be that gap stander. I want to be a gap stander. Come on, put those hands up. I want to be a gap stander. I want to be a gap stander. Yes, I want to make a difference. Now, the altars are open. If you raised your hand for anything, wanted to and didn't, or you've got something else on your mind that you want to talk to God about, these altars are open. These altars are open. God is searching for a man, a woman, to make up a hedge. He's looking for somebody that is not trying to place blame, but trying to say, God, here I am, use me. Use me, God. Use me, God. I want to be a gap stander, God. I want to be a gap stander. I want to be a gap stander. I want to stand before the land. I want to stand before you. God, I want to stand in the gap. I want to make a difference, God. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference, God. Let me stand in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. God is searching. God is searching. I sought for a man, a woman, to make up the hedge, and I found none. The Bible says because of that, the land was destroyed. I don't want our land destroyed because we wouldn't stand in the gap. God, let me stand in the gap. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. God, I want to be a gap stander. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to the Lamb of God. 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 Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you. God's awesome. All the time. We don't have the words to put up there, but it's the Christian version of open arms. What I want you to do is I want you to stand up and open your arms. Stand up and open your arms. God, I want to stand. Y'all follow me. God, I want to stand in the gap. In my home, on my job, in my family, in my church, in your world. Let me stand in the gap. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and pour it on them, Lord. Pour it on them. Pour it on them, Lord. Thank you, Father. Go ahead and receive it. Receive it. God's pouring it out. Receive it. Remember, the anointing is going to announce God's presence when you walk in a room. That's how you know you're anointed. It's not you. People see God, not me. I don't want you to see David Linton. I want you to feel the presence of God. Praise the Lord. The anointing announces the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. I'm not sure, but the Lord started speaking to me again yesterday about this coming up week, and we're going to talk about having your youth renewed. How many would like to have your youth renewed? Yeah, so see, the older I get, the better I was. So the Bible says that they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. All right, so we're going to, I believe that's where we're going next week. I'm not sure yet, but that's where we're going. So this week, concentrate on staying in the gap. Uh-oh, now the leg's starting to move. So look, hey, God's awesome. This week, ask God to show you, to help you, to know how to stand in the gap. And if you find yourself in an awkward situation, I'm going to tell you what to do. You find yourself in an awkward situation that you didn't plan on, ask God, God, is this time for me to stand in the gap or close my trap? Which one is it, Lord? Y'all hear that? God, is it time for me to stand in the gap or close my trap? Whichever it is, God, but let me stand in the gap. Come on, we're going to sing that. Happy day. Oh, I need him singing. Y'all got to help me. I can't even, it's too high for me. Oh, just clap your hands. He taught me how to watch, and pray. There we go. Got to bring her down. Watch and pray. He taught me how. Y'all got to help me out here. If I get singing, they're going to think y'all are beating me. Oh, happy day. There you go. Oh, happy day. There you go. Come on. When Jesus washed. Oh, when he washed. Come on. Did he wash it? Oh, when he washed. He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day, he taught me how. Come on, y'all, help me out. Is it too high for all of y'all? Some of y'all can sing soprano. Bring it up. Watch and pray. I tell you what we're going to do. Y'all keep playing, I'm going to walk to the back. All right. Y'all close your eyes. I'm gonna disappear, And Steve's going to dismiss us in prayer. Father God, we just praise you. We love you, Lord. And Lord, we just pray that, and we know that you'll be there for us. Help us to stand in the gap. Help us to make the change that this nation needs, Lord. For we are the ones with your power. We can turn it around, Lord, with your help. And Lord, bless each and every one that's here today, Lord. Lift them up. And I just give you the honor and the glory and the praise for what you're going to do in each and every life. Amen and amen.